Welcome back to the OU Shnei Mikra Project and our study of Parshat Va'era. This is Menachem Liptag. In today's show, we study Chamishi, the fifth Aliyah. We start in Perchet Pasek Zion. We're at the end of the plague of frogs. Paro had turned to Moshe and Aaron, begged them, pray to God and stop this plague. Moshe Rabbeinu not only agrees, he even tells Paro, you decide what day the plague stops. Paro says, tomorrow I want the plague to stop, which is rather strange, because you would expect that Paro would say, stop the plague right away. Rashi and many other commentators explain that Paro thinks that the frogs are going to stop very soon, on that same day. And therefore he tells Moshe, I want them to stop tomorrow, in the hope that they would really stop right away. And that would show that Moshe's a liar, and he's trying to trick him. Otherwise it wouldn't make sense that Paro would ask for the plague to stop tomorrow instead of right away. Moshe Rabbeinu now agrees to Paro's conditions and says, okay, I'll stop the plague tomorrow. And now he's explaining in Pasuk Zayin how the plague is going to stop. These frogs are going to go away from you and from your homes, and from your servants and from your people. They'll only remain in the Nile. Recall that the frogs came up from the Nile, and now they're simply going to return to the Nile. Moshe and Aaron then left Paro's palace. After leaving the palace, then Moshe can daven to God. In regard to these frogs that God had put on Paro. Now it's not clear, does Moshe leave the palace and pray right away that the plague stop tomorrow? Or does he leave the palace but not pray till the next day for the frogs to stop? You see two different opinions among the commentators. Either way, Vayasa Adonai Kidvar Moshe, God did as Moshe had requested, Vayamuta Tzvardim, and on the next day, all the frogs died, Mina Batimu, Mina Chatzirot, Mina Sedot. All the frogs that were in the homes and in the courtyards and in the fields, they all died. Of course, the frogs in the Nile River area, they remained. Vayitzbru Otam Chamorim Chamorim, the Egyptians piled all these dead frogs together in big heaps, Vativash Haaretz, and because of these big heaps of dead frogs, the entire land had a terrible stench. Nonetheless, Vayar Paro saw that the plague ended, ki hayta harvacha, and now there was some relief from this terrible plague. Vachbedet libo, he hardened his heart, velo shama lehem, he didn't listen to the request of Moshe and Aaron to send the people out to serve their God. Kashir diber Adonai, just as God had instructed Moshe Rabbeinu in the beginning of chapter 7, be prepared that Paro was not going to listen plague after plague. Every time he's going to change his mind, and this is part of God's master plan. So here, after the second plague, this came true as well. Pasuk Yud Bet. Vayomer Adonai Moshe, Emor el Aaron, Netet Matcha, Vachet Tafar Haaretz, Vayan Lechinim Becho Eretz Mitzrayim. We begin now the third plague. God tells Moshe, speak to Aaron. He should stretch out his staff, hit the dust of the earth, and there will be lice, kinim, in the whole land of Egypt. Vayasu Chen, Moshe and Aaron do as God commanded. Vayet Aaron et Yadoba Mateu. Aaron stretches out his hand with that staff. Vayachet Afar Haaretz, and he smites the dust of the earth. Vati Hakinam Badam Ubabehima. The lice came out and they attacked not only the people, but also the animals. Ko Afar Haaretz Hayachinim Becho Eretz Mitzrayim. In all the dust of the earth, in the land of Egypt, there were lice everywhere. Notice, unlike the other two plagues, this time there's no warning to Paro beforehand. Before Dam and Tzvardea, Moshe and Aaron went to Paro and demanded to let the people out in order to serve their God a three-day distance in the desert. This time, there's no Shlachta Mevi Avduni that precedes the plague. Rather, the plague takes place without any warning at all. Pasuk Yudalad, Vayasuchein achartumim belatehem, lotziat tekinim belo yecholu. The magicians of Paro tried to do the same thing with their magic spells, but they were not able. But the plague that Moshe and Aaron had begun, the plague of lice, that continued to strike both the humans and the animals in Egypt. After the Chartumim are unable to perform the same thing that Aaron did, they say to Paro, Etzba Elohim hi. This is the finger of Elohim. Vechazak le Paro v'lo shema lehem. Paro hardened his heart and did not listen to them, kasher diber Adonai, as God had said. There's a very interesting argument among the commentators. What is the meaning when the Chartumim tell Paro, this is the finger of Elohim? Are they trying to convince Paro that this is indeed the work of God, therefore listen to Moshe and Aaron and send the people out? That's the direction of Rashi and Ramban. Rashbam and Ibn Ezra disagree. They claim that the Chartumim are explaining to Paro this has nothing to do with Moshe and Aaron. This is what he calls a Makat Medina in the Rashbam. Or Ibn Ezra says, this is the Makav Elohei Haaretz, some natural plague that's taking place, and Moshe and Aaron simply timed it at the same time when this natural plague was happening. Ibn Ezra proves this from the fact that it says Etzba Elohim and not Etzba Hashem. It doesn't say Etzba Yud Kevavke. He also understands that there is some understanding of some God Elohim. in the eyes of the Egyptians, and they think this is some natural plague and not connected to Moshe at all. If that explanation is correct, then this pasuk is explaining why Paro hardened his heart. Why did Paro harden his heart, as God said he would? Because the Chartumim tried to convince him that there's nothing special about this plague. Ramban totally disagrees with this approach, and he brings a very strong proof by noting that this is the last time that the Chartumim tried to copy a plague. The first two the Chartumim were able to do. This one they're not able to do, and from now on, we never see the Chartumim trying to copy any of the plagues. It seems like this time, they've given up and they're convinced. Paro's not convinced, but at least the Chartumim are convinced. And therefore he thinks that at this point in the story, Elohim is referring to the God of Israel that Moshe Rabbeinu was talking about, and not to gods of nature. Pasuk Tetzayin, verse 16, we're about to begin now the fourth plague. Vayomer Adonai Moshe, Hashkem baboker v'tiaseh lifnei Paro. God tells Moshe, get up early in the morning and stand before Paro. Hinei yotze hamayma, meet him by the river when he goes to wash up in the morning. V'amarte elav, ko amar Adonai, shalach ami v'yavduni. Tell him as follows, send my people out and let them serve me. What will happen if you don't? Ki meincha mashalech et ami, if you don't send my people out, hineni mashleach b'cha, uv'avadecha, uv'amcha, uv'avatecha, et ha'arov. If you don't send them out, I'm going to send against you and your servants and your people and in all your houses, this plague of arov, which is usually translated as wild beasts. Other midrashic sources claim that arov is a type of an insect or a fly. Others claim that it's a specific type of a wild beast, like a wolf or a panther. Or modern commentaries claim it's a type of an Egyptian beetle, which is referred to in Egyptian as an aov, which sounds very much like arov. But for the purpose of our shir, we'll refer to it as wild beasts, or simply arov. Umadu batei Mitzrayim et arov. All the houses of Egypt will be filled by this plague of arov. V'gam adama asher hem aleha, and not only in the houses, but also throughout the land. Pasuk Yudchet, V'fleiti v'yomahu et Eretz Goshen. And on that day, I'm going to do something wondrous and miraculous by showing the Egyptians that this plague is not going to harm the land of Goshen, asher ami omed aleha, the land where my nation or my people are standing there, which means they're living there. L'vilti hayot sham arov, the arov will not attack the land of Goshen at all. Instead, it will only swarm in the land of Egypt. L'man teda, by differentiating between the land of Goshen and the land of Egypt, the Egyptian people will know, ki ani Adonai bekerav haaretz, that I am God in the midst of the land. Based on this differentiation in the fourth plague between the land of Goshen and the land of Egypt, many commentators assume that the first three plagues plagued not only the land of Egypt, but also the land of Goshen. This also can help us understand the transition from the plague of Kinim and the Chartumim saying, Etz Ba'aluhim hi. If we follow the interpretation of Rashbam and Ibn Ezra, that they're claiming that this is a plague of the gods of the land, in other words, it's a natural plague, and not something specifically from God, in order to counter that misunderstanding among the Egyptians, and now in the fourth plague, God has to make it crystal clear that he controls the land as well, it's not other gods, therefore he'll make a distinction between the land of Goshen and the land of Egypt. We should also note at this point that as we begin the fourth plague, the nine plagues come in sets of three. Within each set of three plagues, in the first plague, there's a warning. Moshe goes to Paro, meets him by the river early in the morning, tells him, send my people free, if not, this plague will come. The second plague always begins with Bo'a Paro. Moshe is commanded to go to the palace of Paro and once again give him a warning, send my people free, otherwise I'll bring another plague. And in the third plague, we don't find any warning at all. The plague just happens, and Paro's not warned beforehand. If he doesn't listen, the plague will come. The third plague in each set comes as a punishment for not listening to the two previous warnings. Now with the plague of Arov, we begin the second set. Notice that Moshe was commanded to go to Paro early in the morning and meet him by the river. And then he warns him, send my people free, otherwise I'll bring the Arov. The next plague we're going to see will begin as well with Bo'a Paro. That'll be the Makav Dever. And finally, Shechin, there won't be a warning at all. And that pattern will repeat itself in plague 7, 8, and 9 as well. You may also remember at the Seder, after we dip our finger 10 times in the wine, marking the 10 plagues, then we quote Rabbi Yehuda, who gave simanim to these plagues, the Tzach Adash Bachav, and dip our finger 3 more times. The simanim of Rabbi Yehuda most likely also reflect this division of the plagues into 3 different groups.